Amen. Can we stand up, John chapter 8, and just let the scripture just talk to us a little bit. And John chapter 8 and verse 31 up to verse 36. Just for the text, if you don't mind, can we be on our feet? And when you see other people, stand up at least. You can follow, stand up now. Do I have to tell you again? Anything you see our members doing, our visitors, just follow doing, and so will they do them. If you go Catholic Church, you see them, they do in the name of the Father, so holy. Thank you. 31 to 36. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Then answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we are never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, very, very, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. Verse 36. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. And please don't distract anybody by your side so that somebody can catch something that will help you in this Christian journey. For that is the purpose we are gathered here, to worship the Lord and to hear him speak to us through his word. He says it, if the Son, Jesus Christ, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And our freedom comes from the cross on Calvary. That's why today is very, very special, where we come to the Lord's table to demonstrate or to remember where our freedom came from. Our freedom came through the cross on Calvary. And everyone that is under that freedom that was guaranteed through the blood of Jesus Christ, God told Balaam, now whom he has blessed, you cannot curse him. Hallelujah. But you will notice that they told him that they are Abraham's children. That means they are covenant children. And not just Abraham's children. They know who they are. They are from Sarah. They are not from Hagar. They know who Hagar is. And they know who their children is. They are children of bondage. But they are children of the free woman. They are boasting. Like people boast today. We are Christians. And I'm telling you, I have heard that several times by ministers that supposedly teach grace. And they teach it in such a way that they mislead the people to make assumptions that are not realistic. Yes, that you are free. You'll be Abraham's children. And yet, Jesus is telling them, you are not yet free. Why? Because he said, if you are a servant, hallelujah. Whosoever committed sin, he said, is the servant of sin. Whom you serve is the person you are a servant to. And everyone that is a servant of sin, you know you are in bondage. And for this reason, God sent Jesus Christ to the cross on Calvary to release us from the bondage of sin. And yes, we have spoken that several times before, but I want to emphasize this. Today I'm talking to believers. I'm talking to people that want to have a relationship with God. People who believe on the cross of Calvary. Church, we are serving a God that works by principles. And the devil knows these principles. The same thing I was talking to the firstborn yesterday. To tell you that yes, you receive your deliverance, but even as a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost, you can still be in the bondage of Satan. And that is exactly what I want to give this exhortation, that I titled it, Affliction Should Not Arise a Second Time. Affliction should not arise a second time. The Bible says it shall not. But I say it should not. Because affliction can arise a second time. But it should not. That means we should reject it. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying up and down, fly up and down, that is why they jam trouble. So, the curse, before a curse will come upon you, a curse, curseless shall not come. Before any curse can work on you, there is a reason. There must be a reason. There must be a curse. A curse cannot work on everybody. I have seen people who run away, who leave a ministry, and the pastor will confidently tell you, if you leave, you will not prosper. And truly, if you leave, you begin to face frustration. But why is it that a man will stand and curse you, and the thing will work, and you claim to be a Christian? There must be a reason. There are some other people that man will curse, and the curse will return to him. But your own, it is working. There is a reason. Look at your life very well. When you come to Christ, blessed be the name of the Lord. Can we open Hebrew? Let us read Hebrew chapter 12. When you come to Christ, praise God. The book of Hebrew, I think, is Hebrew chapter 12. Amen. Comparing us with Israel from verse 22. When you come to Christ, you are now a Christian. Come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you have come. That come that you come to Christ, this is how the Bible describes it in Hebrews chapter 12. Apostle Paul, the depth of revelation of salvation was on. He received it. But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God when you come to Christ. You have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. And you have come to an innumerable company of angels. They are unnumbered. You can't number them. There are too many, millions, billions of them. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. And you know, firstborn children are special children before the Lord. They are sanctified. They are special. They belong to God. So you are a special child, which are written in heaven. When you come to Christ, you have come to God, the judge of all. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. This Jesus that you have come to, you have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And you have come to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When in verse 22 he said, you have come to the city of the living God. This city of the living God was spoken in time. If you go to Numbers chapter 35, and you read it from verse 9, down there, where he told Moses, when you get to the promised land, he said you should set aside cities around the people. I have spoken about it several times so that you know, we keep emphasizing some of these things so that you know who you are. You know where you are when you come to Christ. And according to the law, when you commit any sin, any infringement of the law, you break any law, especially the law of destroying somebody, you do me, I do you, that is the law. A tooth for a tooth, an eye for an eye. If you kill my brother, I will kill you too in vengeance. And it is the law. God put the law. Provided there is evidence that you are the one that killed his brother, his next of kin, his brother, will avenge. He will look for you and kill you. And heaven will say amen. But God knows that you can also kill not intentionally. See how merciful God is. Hallelujah. There are some of us, we are suffering because of what our forefathers did. We are innocent. We are innocent. There are things that we did. There is a force that is pushing us to do it. There are some things that when you commit, you don't even know you have done it until you have finished doing it. Then your head, your senses will come back and you'll be saying, why do I do this? Why am I doing this? And everybody is looking at you as evil. But you yourself, you don't know the spirit that is pushing you. But God sees what is pushing you. And he made provision for escape in the Old Testament through those cities. If for any reason you kill anybody and you suddenly discover it was by mistake you killed, you know you didn't kill him intentionally, the avenger of blood will pursue you, and he'll pursue you. According to the law, you will run and run and run. He will pursue you. Where are you running to? You are running to the city of refuge, the nearest of those six cities to you. Once you can cross the border, even if he's about to hit you and you cross, his hand will hang for air. You have crossed. According to the law, if he touch you, the thing will turn against him. There is a reason why he set those cities. It's to teach us something. When the psalmist says that God is our refuge, a very present help in the time of trouble, your mind should go to the city of refuge. Why is it a refuge? It's a place of protection. When you get there, you remain there, and then the matter will be judged. And then it will be found by the judges that you did it not intentionally. Now the Bible says, if you read it down that chapter, that you will remain according to the law in that city until the death of the existing high priest. The high priest in Israel, until he dies, before you can leave that city. And of course, you will have been free. Nobody can touch you anymore. But you will remain there until the death of the high priest. But we now, our high priest, he does not die. Oh, glory be to God. He is a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 6. A priesthood, an everlasting priesthood, a priesthood that is forever. So when you come to Christ, you are eternally secure. Glory be to God. Then it adds something. Let's go to verse 26 of Hebrew. Numbers, sorry. Now, in verse 26, he says, but if a slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and a revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So what is he saying? Once you enter there, the law is, don't step out. If you step out of that city, and the slayer, or the avenger of blood, see you and kill you, he will not be guilty. Because according to the law, you are not supposed to step out. Church, I am saying this because many Christians, they miss this all-important law of God. We are in grace. Grace, grace, Apostle Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? People don't understand. The Bible says, break the edge. What will happen? Serpent will bite you. Every Christian, there is a protection that God gives us. And please, I find it very difficult to explain some of these things to some people because of the way we have been taught. I started receiving some text messages by people who attended this program. Pastor, I don't understand this. After all the prayer we did here, I went back and that spirit still came and defiled me again. Pastor, why? What will I do again? Amen. Pastor, what will I do again? I say, that thing has no power over you. Listen, there is a way Satan behaves. See, I am not a physical fornicator. Physically, I don't fornicate. Now, if I find myself in a dream sleeping with a woman, if I wake up, I will not come and say I have demon wife. If physically I'm not a fornicator, is this spiritual, I will be fornicator. This is what I do. I will wake up and ignore that nonsense. I'll tell Satan, you are a liar. But if I know that I am a dreamer, then I know that that dream is a message to me. Then I begin to look at it. What does a woman signify spiritually? That is where my thinking will go. The next thing that will come to my mind is there any church I am in affiliation with? Because that is what God may be telling me. And most of the time, you will get the understanding. Or is there any woman that you are trying to joke, you are joking with, and this is how it may end up? God is warning you. But not to come and say, I am fornicating. You here, when woman they come sleep with you always, how is your spiritual life? Man, they sleep with you every time for dream. How is your spiritual life after this program? It is not about you sleeping with me. It is the effect of your sleeping with me. Does that effect still take place? Then I will know whether I receive my deliverance or not. Anytime I go for an interview, then I will see a cobweb. The next thing that will come to your mind is, this thing don't come again. I know, say, they're not going to take me. You have accepted it now. And that is exactly what Satan wants to do. To make it look as if this Jesus you trust is powerless. It's not. Church, the blood of Jesus can never lose its power. The cross of Jesus Christ can never lose its effects. The greatest power on earth was released on the cross on Calvary through the blood of Jesus Christ. The problem with us is remaining in Him. He that dwelleth. Are you dwelling in that secret place before you can abide under that shadow? Praise the Lord. One leg in, one leg out. Do you know that there are some members of this church that go to do fetish things? Fetish. They go to fetish people. Fetish, fetish. Fetish, fetish, fetish. People don't know who they are when they come to this message. God gave us a total package. Total package, total package. Since this church started, God raised up prophets here. All I do is pray. Of course, not even that. God has given me so much faith. Because of all the nonsense going on, I decided to choose the safest way of walking with God. The safest way of walking with God is to walk by faith. And I choose to walk by faith. If you walk to me to give me a message, thank God. But people who depend on prophet, 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 if you see the trouble they go through, oh, because the most carnal people are prophets in Christianity. Every abomination written in the Bible is among those prophets you find them. No fear of God. Nothing. You have jammed some of them in these funny, funny places. Even in the church. Some of them used to be here before. In this church. The church. Bride assembly. They're here before. You want to marry. Then you will carry name, go show prophet. Carry the go show. Who told you that you use prophet to choose husband, to choose wife? Who told you that? I've told them still. I see some texts. Pastor, I have two names, Joseph and Francis, A.K. I don't know which one is the one that is God. Praise God. Of course, there are pastors that arrange marriages. That's a dangerous thing to do. Very dangerous. Then you go there, you jam all manner of things. I walk by faith. I believe it more. If I didn't tell you my problem, and God reveal it to you, you come to tell me. I will have more faith than when I come to you. Hey, I beg, I won't go to Abuja. Should I go or should I not go? Should I go or should I not go? Then where is the place of faith? No faith. That is why you jam all manner of things in Christianity today. And some of you don't know you are meeting principalities and powers that call themselves prophets, and you don't know it. Go and create problems for yourself. Create confusion in your life. Scatter your life. I've seen prophets that prophesy and collect people's property. Prophesy and collect your car. But I thank God in Bride Assembly. There used to be a prophet that was here before. And went to pray for somebody in the house. They are no more here. Such people can't last long in this church. And then the prophet said I should give him. He saw a car. The guy needed a car. He said, the Lord say, if you give him this car, this so problem will go. I didn't know. But somehow, the thing got to my ears. So I looked for the man. And the man was monitoring the thing that he said will come to pass. It didn't come to pass. It didn't come to pass. So, Thomas, you know the case I'm talking about. You know the case. Thank you. I said, it didn't come to pass. I called the prophet. I said, it didn't come to pass, so return this car. Oh, yes. We made sure he returned the car and in good and perfect condition. When we finished with that prophet, when we finished with him, we're not surprised. Such people cannot be here anymore. All that nonsense people do outside. All looking for money to eat. No fear of God. That's why I say there are serpent seeds. Serpent seeds. That's why William Branham put it this way. He said, a gift without character, he says, is satanic. Anybody operating gift, spiritual gift, and there is no character, there is Satan behind that gift. By their fruit, we shall know them. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. How can I be in Christ? And the enemy will mess up my life. And the blood of Jesus is still speaking till this moment. So let me tell you some of the reasons. I say some because there are very many. Some of the reasons why these afflictions will come again. There's a principle that many of us miss. Catch it today in Luke chapter 17. Let's read it. Luke chapter 17. Verse 11. Let me read the story there. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. The reason they stood afar off is because leprosy, you must be in isolation. You don't come near other people. It's abomination. You are unclean, so that people will not be infected by the leprosy you have. And that is a type of the wretched condition that some of us have found ourselves until when other people are speaking, we cannot speak because of our condition. Where people go, we cannot go because of our condition. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now see where I am going. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There were 10. Only one came. There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, the one that came back now, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. In verse 14, he told them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed, but they were not made whole. This is what I want you to just note there. There is something about acknowledging God when he has done something for you. That is a principle. The day I caught this, I've shared this with some of you here before, and up to today, it still rings in me that statement he made, thy faith has made thee whole. Which faith? The faith that makes him to acknowledge God after he was cleansed. The leprosy, that is, physically, it was removed. But it simply means it was not a total deliverance. God will do something so that he will see your response. And if you don't respond as you should, to give him glory and recognize him, then affliction shall come again. That is the reason many of us receive today, scatter tomorrow. As soon as you receive from him, you abandon him and go your way, as if it is your ability that gave it to you. God does it. It's a principle. He wants to make you a billionaire. He will start by giving you a few thousands and see your response. He will drop some few millions for you and then see your response. And you think you have arrived. Pride will come in. You begin to walk one kind. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is what he told them. This is what he told them. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy chapter 8. This is what he told them, the children of Israel. Verse 7. Listen to that admonishment very well. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. This is, when I'm talking to you here now. Somebody here. The Lord is taking you to your possession. The Lord is taking you to a land of prosperity. You will not lack again. Doors of blessing have been opened. Your family is now to move forward. A land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of oil, olive and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron. And out of those hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. Let me read that verse 10 again. When thou hast eaten and are full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he had given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command you this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at the latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and my might, the might of my hand had got to me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy father as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you will not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. What an admonishment to every one of us. Among us here, God is going to raise billionaires. I am sure, I am certain. God is going to raise multi-millionaires. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.